Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Tyler.
How are you today?
Well, I guess I'm feeling a little bit embarrassed.
Why is that?
A little bit ashamed of myself, you know, because...
Uh-oh.
So I woke up this morning thinking about myself, which, you know, I probably do on a regular basis.
Me too.
Okay.
It's because we're both Aries.
And also then kind of run through the, you know, family dynamic and then, you know, pet my cats a little bit. And I'm thinking about the show and the day. And I don't, and I just was kind of going about my business. And then I got out of bed and, you know, the topic we were going to talk about, teaching, and if the teaching profession is still a viable career. And I, you know, was thinking a lot about how teachers struggle. And then I opened up my mail for the morning, and in it was an email from my husband passing along an email from a coworker about his time serving in the military. And a speech that he gave as the commander of, I don't know all of my military terms, but a speech that he gave as a pilot in the Army to his people on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. So it was 7 years ago, and he was deployed in Afghanistan, and he, you know, was there commanding his troops. And so he wanted to give this speech to memorialize the 10th anniversary. And so he passed along the speech, and then my husband passed it along to myself. And I read it, and I was so moved, and then immediately humbled, and then a bit ashamed, and then inspired by what he'd written. And so I quickly scrapped my idea for today's show, and we will definitely table it and come back to it, because I think talking about teaching actually will line up a bit with today's topic, because it is a profession of service. But we're going to come back and revisit that, and we're going to focus today on what today is, which is September 11th. The 17th anniversary of the events that took down the Twin Towers and took the lives of 2,977 people, and how we've progressed in 17 years, or where are we after 17 years? And I think that, I guess, the part that stands out the most to me about this, and again, it could just be me, but I didn't wake up this morning thinking about this. I didn't wake up this morning reminding myself that today was September 11th, and that 17 years ago I was feeding my daughter breakfast and watching television and going about our day, and the phone rang, and my sister was hysterical on the other end saying, "You got to turn on the TV. You're not going to believe what's happening." Like, I remember that day very vividly, and the events that unfolded days after that. But here we are 17 years later, and it's not a date of remembrance for me that pops up like Memorial Day or Labor Day, which, you know, I think about every year when we wake up on the day, or the 4th of July. You know, there are like key days of remembrance that are etched in my brain. And for some reason, this is not. And I know that's not true for many people, those who've served in many capacities, first responders, those in any kind of service to our country through the military, domestic service, national service. Like, it is very much a part of their life. And when I finally kind of peeked into the Facebook feeds for the day and Instagram, I saw my friends posting, you know, never forget, always remember 9/11. And so clearly, and there are events happening in the county, you know, in every county there are events happening. And so, again, I'm embarrassed that I didn't have this on my radar, that it wasn't on my books, that my show is on Tuesday. My show is on Tuesday, 9/11, and wouldn't this be the only thing we talked about today? Because when we want to focus the show on our mental health and well-being, people are to this day continuing to be affected by that the events of 9/11 and what's happened, you know, 17 years into it. We're still not done with the wars that were started as a result of 9/11. There were an estimated 422,000 people suffering with PTSD in New York City alone as a result of 9/11 and what they experienced and what they witnessed. And so this is an ongoing mental health, physical health for those who are injured and are still recovering. And it's an emotional and physical and economic and social and societal experience that we've all shared. And it changed the course of history. And yet we don't really talk about it that much. And I wonder if teachers are teaching it today. I wonder if today is a day of 9/11 remembrances in the classroom. And then I was doing some research on, you know, how we do look at 9/11. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but in 2002, the year after the original attacks, 9/11 was designated as National Day of Service and Remembrance Day. And that was started by a couple of men who lost family members in 9/11, and they wanted to have some way of keeping alive the spirit, I guess the spirit and the unity and the sense of compassion that arose after 9/11 that people were feeling all over the country and around the world. And they wanted to kind of keep that energy alive, and that every year as a tribute to the lives that were lost and those whose lives were impacted by injury, those who rose to service that day, just ordinary people doing extraordinary things along with first responders. They wanted to have these everyday people celebrated by having a National Day of Service, so that people would take today and go out and do something for the greater good. Any act of service, it could be. It's not limited to, you know, going to work for AmeriCorps or joining the Peace Corps or joining the military. They wanted a day where you did some sort of service for the betterment of your community or your country. And so their foundation is called My Good Deed. And this is a federally recognized day of unity. Did you know that? Because I did not. And yet 30 million people around the country participate in some way every year, and have every year since 2002. And also today, 9/11 has been declared Patriot Day. And this is also a federally recognized day that was designated in 2001 by a joint resolution approved on December 18th, so 3 months after the attacks, that Congress designated September 11th to be Patriot Day to honor the memories of the nearly 3,000 lives that were lost. And so this day is all-encompassing. It's a moment of remembrance for those who lost their lives. It's a moment to step out of our day-to-day self-absorption or the things that we feel are so pressing in our life that we need to take care of, and to do something for someone else, to follow through in an act of service in some way, and a way to kind of come together in doing something greater than ourselves to pay tribute to what happened on this day. And it's interesting because there's three designations, two different designations of what this day is about. And yet it's not a nationally recognized holiday. It's not a federal holiday. And I was wondering, why isn't it a federal holiday? And it'd be interesting as a federal holiday, if it's a day of national service, that people would be encouraged to go out and do service. It would be a wonderful time to have people kind of shut down their lives as they know it, and to go out and kind of be together, to interact with people that they wouldn't normally interact with, and build alliances and build unity and build compassion for each other by participating in moments or days of service. And I thought the reason we probably don't have 9/11 as a day of remembrance that is a federally recognized national holiday is that we haven't finished what was started 17 years ago, that the wars are still ongoing, that the unrest is still ongoing, that terrorism is still ongoing, that we have not resolved, you know, unlike Armistice Day or, you know, the end of other wars where treaties were signed and then you would have those days of remembrance because that event had passed. 17 years later, that event has not passed. And so we can't stop and have a day of remembrance or a day of service because we still are in 9/11 actively. and that at some point it becomes so overwhelming that it's hard to keep the energy year after year because it's still ongoing. And what are we memorializing, or what are we stopping down and giving thanks for, because the work is not done? And I don't even know what that means, the work is not done. What would that mean to have it all be, what would be the bow tie on 9/11 that would make it now worthy of a federal holiday? I don't have the answer to that, but I do know that it's a day I remember, and I know that many, many people have strong memories of that day, and it changed their lives forever. And so I want to open the phone lines today to talk about 9/11, 2001, and where were you that day? People talk about where they were when Kennedy was assassinated, like it was yesterday, or the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But 9/11 was our modern day national tragedy. And you don't hear people talking about where they were that day, the way they talked about these other significant events. And so I'm curious to know, do you have a recollection of that? Where were you? And has it changed your life? How did it impact your life? I'd like your thoughts and stories on the events of 9/11. And what kind of service have you given to your country? Have you given yourself in a military sense of service, or domestic service, or national service through nonprofits? Have you found yourself able to give back to your country as a patriot in some way that is meaningful to you? And should 9/11 be a national holiday devoted to service? What do you think about that? So we're going to open up the phone lines and go a lot of directions, all revolving around remembering 9/11. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of the conversation in many ways. You can join us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. We've become pretty active with our Instagram. If you'd like to find me, Elizabeth_TRT on Instagram, to get weekly updates, post comments. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can also check out our website and listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. Tyler keeps them all updated almost immediately when we're off the air. He's got it up for you to listen to. And you can subscribe to our podcast by visiting Apple Podcasts or NPR One, however you find your podcast. Search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, hit subscribe, and the shows will be uploaded for you to listen to. So we're going to think about and remember 9/11, and we're going to come back in a moment to open up the phone lines to take your calls and share your stories.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee we bow to sing. Land of the pilgrim's pride, same land where my forefathers died. Freedom ring, we're gonna let freedom ring.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Today we are remembering 9/11, 17 years ago today. And I'm curious to know, where were you 17 years ago today when you heard about the attacks and what was happening? How did you feel? Were you worried for the safety of yourself, for the safety of the country? Does it still ring true to you today, 17 years later? And as I mentioned before, I was ashamed and embarrassed to wake up and realize that this wasn't on my radar, this day of remembrance. And so I'm wondering if it's something that's on your radar as well, or if you've had a tradition of doing something on this day of remembrance. It is a designated day of service, and National Day of Service, Remembrance Day, a federally recognized day of unity and charitable service. It's become, interestingly enough, the largest annual day of charitable service in the U.S. since 2001. So where do you find yourself when it when it involves September 11th and service and where we are as a country today. Should we have a national holiday where we give back for the day? Or should we just kind of let this day go down in infamy and not think about it any longer? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation today. Remember the 805 part, 805-781-3875. I'm curious to know your stories and remembrances of that day. And Tyler, you're, you know, a bit younger than I am. How old were you? And this is going to give your age a little bit, but how old were you in 2001 when 9/11 happened?
I was 18 years old.
Okay, so.
So newly 18 and. You know, I go back to this like so many other people all the time. You remember where you were. And I was, it was morning. I was in Texas. I was in school. I was in my first period. And I was in Miss LeBrew's math class. And we're just normal day like any other. And some one came by our classroom and they were like, something crazy happened on TV. And so I got up and I went to the bathroom. I remember walking by Mr. Ford's history class, and he had a TV in his classroom, and everyone was watching it, and I saw the second plane fly into the tower. And so, you know, so many things went through my head that day, you know, being newly 18, are we going to war? No one knew what was happening. There were so many rumors flying around that day, so many things that didn't happen happened, so many things that we didn't know. Classes being canceled, people being pulled out of classes, some people staying in classes. It was a lot. And, you know, what's been really sticking with me lately was I remember, you know, being 18 and we watched a lot throughout the day and being a dumb kid. And I made a joke about it because I didn't know, was young and processing. And, you know, you're trying to figure out so many things. And I made a joke about it that no one will remember to this day.
But it stuck with you.
I remember that I had an inappropriate response to that to this day. Yeah. And I still kind of like catches me a little bit and I stop and I feel bad about it. And I bet you nobody remembers. But I know the teacher that looked at me funny when it happened and my buddy that laughed and everything. And I can remember that. And I wish I could go back and take that back.
I so understand that feeling. And it is interesting that no one probably remembers at the time, but it's something that stays with you and you wish you could kind of shake it off or get a do-over or go back and have a different experience of that day. And it's interesting. I mean, I won't ask you because I don't want to re-embarrass you all over, but I wonder if you remember the exact thing that you said or just the fact that your response wasn't what you had hoped for yourself. And at 18, you know, how do you put into context, because the 18 years of your life had been pretty quiet in our history. It was, you know, post-Vietnam, things were kind of settled in. We went through a long period of prosperity through the 80s and 90s, and things were, you know, pretty comfortable and going well. And I would imagine that at 18, there was no context for this experience.
Oh, absolutely. We'd never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. And I was so young to barely even understand war and all of these things that had been going on TV. I was just coming up to age and media wasn't what it was now. So it was so limited, you know? This was on the 24-hour news cycle.
Right. Exactly. So what are your memories of that day, September 11th, 2001? Charlie, thanks for calling in. What are your reflections?
Okay. Well, I first heard about it on NPR. I had my clock radio turned on, and that's one of the first things I heard when I woke up was the announcement of a 9/11 episode. Mm. Anyway, it's interesting. We had some people from the Plant Society that we were going to do a fundraising thing on base, and so one of the first things I did was called the. Of course, the base was going to be shut down. Called some of the people that are going to show up for that, and tell them, "Hey, there's probably won't be happening." A lady friend of mine who was on a road trip someplace, and she called in. And announced the news, and it was just, very meaningful. Anyway, I've certainly remembered. And what I did today, I put my flag out at half, put my American flag out and ran it at a half staff.
And Charlie, I mean, you're an older gentleman, so I would imagine this is not the first event of significance that you remember. I mean, Kennedy's assassination. I'm sure you remember.
Oh yeah, I remember. I believe I was an intern at Highland Hospital on the rotation out at Fairmont, and I remember on 11:30 in the morning hearing about his assassination.
Mm-hmm. And so, given the national tragedies that you've experienced over the years, does 9/11 does it have the magnitude in your mind as things like Pearl Harbor or the Kennedy assassination or even?
Well, it's almost more like Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a wake up call, and what was interesting, kind of reflecting during World War II. I grew up during World War II. I don't remember Pearl Harbor. I was a little too young to remember it, but I certainly remember a lot of that. And trying to think, and apparently after 9/11, we went on a great conservation thing. You did without. Mm-hmm. You had ration points. We cut back on consumption to support the war effort. And one of the reflections was the administration wanted to go out and continue buying to keep mm-hmm. the economy running.
Well, and that always kind of stood out to me as well, that one of the big differences between World War II and Vietnam and post 9/11 wars on terrorism, that World War II was a cultural experience that everyone was sacrificing. All families were sacrificing, cutting back. During Vietnam, there was not that experience. And then again, after 9/11, there wasn't kind of a national conservation or experience. And it was stunning that the president at the time, George Bush, said, let's get back out to the malls and go shopping and show the terrorists that nothing will slow us down. And I thought, how disheartening that was the thing that we'd be most known for, is going out and continuing our material ways as a show of resistance. And I wonder if part of the reasons that 9/11 isn't more burned into our psyches or part of the national conversation is because we haven't suffered nationally in the ways that we have in the past, that this tragedy has really been focused more on those who suffered in New York City or on the East Coast, didn't touch the West Coast as much, and for those who have served in the military as first responders. But for everyone else, life kind of went back to normal.
One reflection I had, somebody said, oh, they're attacking us because they disagree with our values. My reflection is, I think part of the attack is not because they disagreed with our values, but because in some ways we haven't lived up to our values. Mm. A lot of what we're importing, exporting, unfortunately sometimes we're not exporting, a thing of our better nature. Mm. As I say, I certainly have tried to just, remember it, and it's been an important event in my life.
Thank you for calling in, Charlie, and thank you for pulling that together, too, because it makes me want to continue talking about the importance of honoring 9/11 with something specific as a day of service, that instead of just having a day where we lower our flags or, remember quietly those that were lost, to do something active, to go out and do something of service to others, to contribute to the greater good, to contribute to the values that we do hold as a country, that we say we hold as a country, and to stand by them. So thank you for your call, Charlie. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And we're talking about 9/11. And I put out the call to ask you, what do you remember about that day? Where were you on September 11th? What were you doing? And how has it impacted your life since that time? Or has it impacted your life? Did you wake up today and think about 9/11 and want to do something about it or share a memory in some way? Our number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. And And when I was prepping for the show, I immediately thought of my father, who happened to be on the East Coast on 9/11 17 years ago. Our family is a bit bi-coastal, so my parents both grew up on the East Coast, and our family business is in the East Coast. So my dad was there on 9/11. He happened to be at the factory. And so I asked him to call in and share his memories of that day. And so, Dad, thank you for calling in. This is my father. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Elizabeth. What a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, so, Dad, talk a little bit about what you experienced on the day, because I don't know if people on the West Coast had the same experience as you did.
Okay, well, basically, I was on my way to work in Jersey City, New Jersey, and we have an old building, an old factory that sits on the heights of Jersey City overlooking New York City, and I was coming across the Pulaski Skyway at about 8:45 in the morning, and I listened to IMS on the radio, and they said a plane had just hit the World Trade Center. And at first, they thought it was just a private plane and had made a mistake and something happened, because this has happened in the past with planes coming out of LaGuardia. But within a short moment, they realized this was something a little more serious. And by the time the gasoline, all the fuel had spilled and the thing erupted, it was mayhem. I could see all the smoke and the flames and what have you coming across the Skyway, and I was probably 5-10 minutes from the factory. When I got there, I got assembled my people together and managers, and we went up on the roof. We had a big flat roof on top of our place. Overlooks New York, and you could almost reach out and touch the World Trade Center. It overlooks lower Manhattan with the Hudson River between us. And this was at the first hit was at 8:46, and at 9:05, while we're watching the first tower going up, the second plane hit, and then the whole thing just turned into a big fireball. And the black smoke and the intensity of this thing was worrisome to everybody, because the wind was offshore, so it was blowing it out over the ocean, basically over Coney Island and out over the Long Island Sound and what have you. If it had turned and gone over the metropolitan area, this toxic smoke and fumes from the burning would have been another episode. But anyway, that was not our concern. Our concern was the building, and we had one of our managers on the roof with us, and she had two daughters, both worked for Cantor Fitzgerald up on the 101st floor. That was a financial firm in New York City that had the 101st, 105th floor of the World Trade Center, the first one that went up. And his two daughters worked there, and they went to work together every day. And this particular day, the one daughter's birthday, and someone stopped her in the lobby and said, "Let me take you out for breakfast, and don't be late for work." And so her sister went up, and she stayed and walked out and went out to breakfast. So the fate there was, everything is timing in life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we had no idea the magnitude of this thing, but as it got worse and worse, and within 45 minutes, the whole thing was coming down like a house of cards, and it was terrifying. She crumpled. She crumpled up there because she realized her daughter. She thought she lost both daughters because there was no way anybody could survive this. You could see. We thought it was parts of the building coming down, and basically what you had were over 200 people at the end of the day had jumped. Mm-hmm. They'd chosen to jump out from the 100th floor or wherever they were, and take that route out instead of being, to getting burned up in the fire. It was just horrible.
So
it was very, very unbelievable. So in the meantime, I'm a volunteer firefighter down the Jersey Shore, and we're on a Barrier Reef Island there, and so we have radios and what have you. And in the meantime, on my radio, I hear that they've shut down everything, and they had it within 8 minutes, 9 minutes of watching this thing over New York. The fighter jets and the interceptors came out of Willow Grove Naval Air Station in Pennsylvania outside of Philly, and they were on top of the scene going up and down the Hudson River and circling around Manhattan, and then they had these military helicopters all over, because the rumors were coming through that the Holland Tunnel, there were trucks full of munitions in the Holland Tunnel and on the George Washington Bridge, and it was just a mess, and everybody, the rumor mill was going, and the radio communications, this was, how many years ago, between the different agencies wasn't the best. And the fire department in New York City had trouble communicating with the police department. And at the end of the day, it was just something everybody liked to remember it because it was so horrible. But at the same time, within 15, 20 minutes after the second tower got hit, the Pentagon in Washington got hit, and 178 lives or something like that were lost in the Pentagon, which people kind of forgot about. And then not too long after that, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which is 50 miles east of Pittsburgh, is where the flight from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco was taken over by the terrorists. And that's when all the brave passengers decided that they're gonna fight back. And that they actually deterred the plane. These guys wanted to take the plane in and attack the White House with it.
Well, Dad, so now 17 years later, and you know the rooftop view from the factory has a whole different landscape. How did this experience change you? I'm going to pose that question to you, but I'm going to come back to you in just a moment. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Dad, are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, okay. I'm rattling off here.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
So 17 years later, how has this changed? Do you wake up every year on 9/11 and remember it? Has it faded for you?
No, it'll never fade. Mm-hmm. It's just because I was too young for Pearl Harbor, basically. You know, I was probably 4 years old when that happened, but I remember the blackouts as a kid and air raid wardens running around. And then I remember in 1950, we had to build air raid. They were building bomb shelters in people's backyards. So there's always been something threat out there. Mm-hmm. And I served in the Army in Germany for 3 years and during the Cold War. And there was a constant threat going there, and I guess I'm always on alert, being a first responder. Mm-hmm. It just awakens. You worry about everybody, and I know that the threat today is as bad as it was then, and people have to realize that. And I'm glad that we're rebuilding up our military.
Okay. Dad, thank you for calling in, and thank you for reminding me of those stories. You're the best. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist, and I wanted to talk about 9/11 from people's memories of that day and how that's impacted them today, if it's impacted them today, and should we have a National Day of Remembrance? Should it be a national holiday where we take the time out to do service for the day? Our number is 805-781-3875. Monica, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind?
Mm-hmm.
My husband would sleep in the morning, and I would get up and read in the living room, and the phone rang at a very early hour, and I was thinking, who would call at such an ungodly hour? And my son was on the phone, and he said, Mom, don't worry. I'm okay. I'm okay. And he happened to be in the Pentagon that day.
And did you have any idea that
I had no clue. I was just reading. And he said, aren't you watching TV? And, you know, it was 6 o'clock or something here or 6:30 mm-hmm. in California. But you could hear in his voice. He said, don't worry about me. I'm okay. You know, it was just sounded so. Of course, then I turned on the TV and I woke up my husband. But I can still hear his voice, how desperate it was. It just somehow, it still sticks with me.
And it, as you mentioned, it still sticks with you. So do you remember this?
I remember it during the year many times. So when we talk on the phone and, you know, it just comes back how desperate he was to let us know that he was okay.
And so how is your son all these years later? Is it still impact him?
You know, we hadn't talked about it. He seems fine. Mm-hmm. And he has kids that started college and, you know, whatever. But I know that when the first year when they reopened the Pentagon, we happened to visit then. They live in Virginia. And we went to that ceremony after the first year when they rededicated the Pentagon, and so we just happened to be there. So we went to that ceremony.
And so do you think it should be a national holiday, a day of remembrance and service?
Well, not so much a holiday, but for sure a day of remembrance, and like you said, about a day of service, but not just going to the beach and having barbecues, and, you know, it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had another son in the Air Force, and he was flying F-15s, and he flew them all across the East Coast, back and forth, more or less, they were just not parading, but, you know, flying.
Yeah, protecting or keeping
an eye on. Protecting the area. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's interesting because, as I mentioned before, I think there was a much greater impact to those on the East Coast than those on the West Coast. I know that my father's experience and losing neighbors and coworkers, losing children, I don't know many of my friends here in the West Coast who had that same experience. So thank you for taking the time to call in, Monica, and sharing your story. And I'm glad your son was okay. You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. And on this day, September 11th, 2018, 17 years after the attacks on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the flight in Shanksville, as my father reminded me, we still have not finished what was started on that day. And I'm not really sure, as I mentioned before, I'm not sure what finished would look like, if there is a finished. But I feel really strongly that for the mental health and well-being for those that are still suffering in the wake of what happened on 9/11, and for our country as a whole to find some unity, some compassion, some way of coming together, that this would be a wonderful start to designate 9/11 as a day of unity and charitable service. And we don't have to designate it because it's already been done. Since 2002, this has been a nationally recognized day of unity and charitable service. 30 million people do something every year on 9/11 as an act of charity. It's become the largest annual day of charitable service in the United States. And yet, I woke up this morning not thinking about it, and I don't know if you woke up this morning thinking about it, but what can we do to grow the awareness and to make something good of something that was so horrific in our history? What are your thoughts on this? What are your memories of 9/11? You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we'll be back to continue our conversation and take your calls.
And you would be queen. Though nothing will drive us away, all we can be heroes just for one day.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and that's Peter Gabriel singing Heroes. And we're talking about 9/11, 17 years later, and what can we do as a nation to remember that day in a way that honors the lives of those that were lost, the 20 799 lives that were lost, the 2,000 first responders that were injured, the over 52,000 military personnel who have experienced casualties since 9/11, out fighting the wars as a result of that attack. What can we do as a country to turn this into a way of building unity and compassion, of creating an opportunity for charitable service for all? Because it's one of the primary tenets of mental health is being a part of something greater than ourselves, giving back in some way, small or large. You don't have to join the Peace Corps. You can take dinner to a neighbor who's having a hard time getting out of their house. There are many ways we can connect and be in service. So how could we elevate this day to be of meaning? 805-781-3875. What are your memories of 9/11 17 years ago? Shane, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
I was living in Maine at the time. I worked as a victim witness coordinator with the U.S. Attorney's Office there, and we were in the middle of a very large trial with lots of witnesses. And I had a call from a secretary over in the office, because it was in a different building, and she said that a plane had hit the Twin Towers in New York, and all of us were kind of speculating that it was just a bad, you know, accident. And then shortly thereafter, she called again and said that the second one had hit. And I went into the courtroom and went behind the U.S. attorney. She was sitting in a listening to this trial, and so I whispered to her what I had heard, and shortly thereafter, it looked like the judge had been informed by somebody, you know, that this had happened. So he actually shut the building down. He had everybody leave the building because I believe he thought, as did most of us, that the whole country was maybe under attack. Mm-hmm. And I had all these witnesses. I had to get home. And I got them home different ways, you know, because, you know, most of the aircraft were grounded mm-hmm. after that. So you had to use, you know, ground transportation to get people anywhere. And, it lingered a long time, the effects of it and the sadness about it. And I knew people who were in those buildings, and I think it's dreadful, and I do wish that we could do more. I think we just need to remember always what happened that day.
Well, and it seems like in some ways there's almost years later, because of the Patriot Act or some sort of pushback on the idea of loving the country or being proud or supporting the country, that there's become a negative experience, and that, you know, one of the things that we have to regain is this pride in being patriots, or this pride of supporting this country, this pride and remembrance in people, ordinary people doing extraordinary things on this day in 9/11, and to be proud of that. Because I think there's a lot of shame in our country, and that doesn't help build unity if we feel embarrassed of who we are as a country and what we stand for.
Well, I certainly wasn't ashamed of the way people acted that day, and they were remarkable and unbelievable that day and many days after. You know, some people just did extraordinary things that unfortunately made their lives worse, because a lot of them, you know, became ill from what they did, you know, to try to rescue people.
Right. Many first responders suffered for years and lost their lives because of the dust and the pollutants that were in the air. And we don't talk about a lot of that. But I think focusing this day on remembering the heroic acts of ordinary people is something that we can take pride in. And we can all find that hero in ourselves by doing some sort of charitable act for others. It doesn't have to be something that takes your life from you. It can be something that seems small but makes a huge difference in the lives of others. And maybe that's what this day can really be about.
Probably.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Shane. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. What do you remember about this day 17 years ago? And how can we continue on in remembrance in a way that might be positive and make something better of a horrific day? Bill, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Thank you, Elizabeth, for taking my call. Can you tell us, there were three buildings that were brought down that day. Can you tell us what happened to building number 7?
I do not know.
Well, it wasn't hit by any airplanes or anything. It was a 40-story building. We saw it come down on the news. It came down just like the other two buildings. And I wanted to know if you had any doubts about the story we were told.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I'm sensing from your tone that you want to go down the conspiracy route on what happened in 9/11.
And no, I just want to get down the truth route.
Okay, well, so let me say this. I don't know the details of the day, but what I can tell you is the fallout from a clinician's point of view that 422,000 New Yorkers continue to suffer from PTSD from whatever they experienced, however it was started and however it came to be. And so I think what my focus of the show today is really about how do we as a country hold each other's mental health and well-being? How do we support each other? How do we become a country that stands by what our stated values are, which are unity and charitable service to others and being there in times of crisis, however that crisis may occur?
The community radio station, can we have a day of the truth about 9/11?
Because well, I appreciate your concern for this, and I'm happy to have you send in an email to share your thoughts, and maybe there is a way that we can have a community conversation. But today I'd really like to focus on the Day of Remembrance, which the September 11th is, as designated by our Congress to have a day of unity and charitable service. So thank you for your call, Bill. Where were you that day? What do you remember about it? And how has it gone on to impact your life? And what can we do moving forward? The group that I talked about, My Good Deed, in 2002 started this movement. Two men that lost family members in 9/11 wanted to make that event something more positive and not just devastating. And so they started My Good Deed with the goal of keeping alive the spirit of unity and compassion that arose. And a lot of people talk about that, that there was a lot of positivity that happened around the immediate aftermath of 9/11, the attacks. People came forth and did extraordinary things and brought out the best in who we are as people. And so they wanted this day to be a tribute to the lives that were lost and to have people remember that every day we can do better for each other. And so where do we go with that? 805-781-3875. Hi, Liz. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes. My husband and I were in Lower Manhattan right off the South Street Seaport in a hotel that overlooked the East River and all the way to the World Trade Center. We were there visiting my mother, who was in her late 80s at that time, and lived in a small apartment a few blocks away. My husband was shaving, and I heard the crash of the first plane and said, oh, my God, that was the loudest sonic boom I ever heard. And he said they don't allow sonic booms over New York. So we went out to the little patio we had on our hotel room and could see the first plane sticking out from the back of the building and just stood there flabbergasted, and he went in and put the TV on. And then we saw the second plane hit and the fires and people we could see from where we were, people hanging out of the building. And then we saw the buildings collapse. And we called my mother to tell her we were okay, and that we would be over to her apartment in a few minutes. In the meanwhile, we could see the buildings collapsed on to the right, and to the left we could see the East River, and the people walking up the by the river, crossed the Brooklyn Bridge to get out of Manhattan because it was the only way out was by foot. Mm-hmm. There was no vehicular traffic. And the one thing besides the fires and the smoke that you couldn't describe unless you were there was the smells of everything burning. Mm-hmm. And that's something that remains to this day. My sister, who also lives there, had post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. Every time she heard a plane go over her apartment. Mm-hmm. To this day, what I think is that it burned hate into people's minds. Hate of anything Arab, Muslim. Instead of trying to build unity with the fact that they were people and most of them had nothing to do with the planes and the attacks. As a matter of fact, most of them were Saudi Arabians, and they are supposedly our allies. Mm-hmm. We should be reaching out and having unity with other people around the world, other religions, other nationalities, instead of blaming them mm-hmm. for what happened. It was a day that I will never, ever forget, and neither will people who... And neither should anyone forget, because of the heroic deeds and the fact that we could have built bridges around mm-hmm. the whole world mm-hmm. rather than enter into wars.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you for taking the time to call and sharing your story. And I imagine it is something that will be burned in your mind forever. And what a beautiful sentiment, that time for building bridges instead of tearing things down. But it's not too late. Do we still have the opportunity to do things to heal our own sense of brokenness or detachment in a time when we have epidemic levels of people feeling alienated, isolated, fearful, depressed? You know, things are difficult. The world is challenging. But the first and most healthy life-affirming thing we can do is put ourselves aside and help someone else, to put our own pain and our own grief and our own memories aside and reach out and do for someone else. It's a first phenomenal step that we can take to heal our mental health. And imagine if every one of us did one thing to make the life easier for someone around us, and they did the same thing, that old pay it forward or doing for others could change the course of our country. Because I don't know about you, but I think the thing that I believe most is that most people are inherently good. That's something that my father has said to me since we were little kids, is that when you go out in the world, the vast majority of people are good and want to do well and do right. And that if we looked at each other from a lens of interpreting most people with good intentions, how different things would be. And then to start with just with one simple day of 9/11 and choosing one thing you could do to make someone else's life easier. I always fall back to the idea of just dropping a note or a card in the mail to someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. Send them a note and say, hey, I was thinking about you today and I hope you're well, or you've been on my mind. That takes very little to no effort, a stamp and a card, and it could change the course of someone else's day because they'll get that letter and maybe be inspired to do something else. Or maybe you know someone who just had a baby or just had surgery and you take the time to make a lasagna or some other dish that you do, and you drop that by and drop it off for them and say, hey, I was thinking about you and wishing you the best. Or you see some trash by the side of the road or on your walk down, you know, Bob Jones Trail, and instead of leaving it there, you pick it up. And so the next person that goes by sees that trash or doesn't see that trash and just sees the beauty of the natural world that we're in. All those little things improve our psyche, improve our mental health. You know, we spend a lot of time concerned about how to take care of people who are struggling with depression or anxiety. We talk a lot about the medical model and how we are suffering as people. But if you look at the overall wellness of individuals, the things that we struggle with most can be corrected by simple acts of kindness to ourselves and kindness to others. That we look at mental health from a much too complex way, that we're really not that complex as individuals, that our attitude and what we are exposed to make a huge difference in how we view and experience life day to day. The sense of gratitude, which sometimes can sound kind of trite, trite and silly, but having gratitude for something nice that happens or something that's going well in your life can boost your serotonin and your dopamine. And those little pings of positive energy can give you the energy to turn around and hug someone who might be struggling, or to say something kind to someone who you otherwise might have said something snarky. When we have a higher sense of dopamine and serotonin and good energy flowing in our psyche, we tend to spread that out. And so I think it's easy to get bogged down because news sells when it's negative and horrifying and overwhelming. It bogs us down to be continually bombarded with negative images. And so we have to take responsibility for taking those first steps to bringing something positive to our lives and then in turn turning that positivity out. So today is September 11th, 2018. Next year, September 11th, 2019, I want to have the same conversation. But instead of just kind of talking about where we were on September 11th in 2017, I want to talk about what you did this year to give service to those in need. I would like you to pay attention to something you've done as an act of charity. It doesn't have to be large. It can be small. At the beginning of the year, the last 2 years, I've started my New Year's resolution with spending 5 minutes five times a week doing something to better myself or better the world. And my girlfriend Trish gave me a bowl of pennies, and each penny represents one day that I'd spend that 5 minutes, and I try to dig through and do that. And it's funny because some days even 5 minutes of charitable acts to myself and to others are overwhelming. But for all the pennies that are in that jar, I feel better. And it's easier for me to get up and go about my day and then give of myself to others. And so this has been a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I appreciate you being a part of the conversation. You can find me on my Facebook page or on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com and listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or subscribe through our podcast. Thank you, as always, for being a part of this conversation and for supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We can all be heroes.
We're lovers.